And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, June the 12th, 2017, 12:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You're tuned into the Now program. I'm Scott Spears, and over the next 2 hours, we are going to have the best current events conversation this side of the Mississippi River. And Terry Tackett will join me for that two-hour period. You on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. Terry, how's life?
Oh, good, good, good.
Here for another run?
Yep.
Another Monday run.
A hot Monday run.
What is it about Mondays?
Mondays is just, it's just hard to refocus after the weekend, I think, you know.
You know, everybody, I used to love Fridays, and I've almost come now, though, not to like Fridays.
Really?
Yeah, I always liked them, but there's something now about Fridays. I mean, I'm excited for when the day's over, mm-hmm. because it leads you into the weekend.
Well, yeah, sure.
But I'm almost like, okay, I know all this stuff I neglected during the week that I need to get done on the weekend now.
Well, I'm kind of with you, because my Friday's my trash day. And I always wait till the very last, you know, so I hate that because, like, I'm running off to work, and then I was like, oh, I got to remember to take the trash, you know. And
yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that used to be very easy to do.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, because Friday when you were in school, no homework over the weekend, no projects.
Absolutely.
Even in college, I was that way.
Yeah.
But now I almost dread the weekend because I think, okay, well, I put off booking this guest, I put off calling this person, I put off doing this paperwork, and I know I have to get it done. Like last Saturday morning, I spent doing paperwork for like 3 or 4 hours. And you know,
that could have been done
well. It probably could have been done during the week.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know, but then you got to juggle your other stuff during the, you know, your work and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, it's such a busy thing because, you know, most of the time I work at night during the week. I'm here during the day. And then now we're out at Rosa and Rocco's on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. So Thursday night is shot. So by the, and last Thursday after we did our show out there, somebody asked me to have dinner with them. So I was out there a little longer than I thought I'd be.
Uh-huh.
And I had a doctor's appointment last Thursday. So Thursday was just a busy, busy day. And then by the time we got to Friday, I had not really done all the stuff I needed to do. So I'm even still playing catch up this morning. I mean, I had to call this morning at the 11 o'clock hour to get some papers that I did not get over the weekend and couldn't get over the weekend.
Because you needed to complete some of the paperwork that you were doing.
Complete some of the paperwork that I was doing on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it all finally comes to an end, maybe I will enjoy Fridays again.
There you go, yeah.
But certainly not at the present time.
Right. Like I say, I can understand that because there's just so many things. Like you say, you know, well, I got till this day. Or, you know, then before you know it, Friday's here. And you're like, oh my, I didn't, you know.
I just want a weekend where I do nothing.
Yes.
Because if I can get to the weekend where I do nothing, I think I'll be a much happier person.
I wonder what that's like just to actually have a weekend just to do absolutely nothing.
Wouldn't it be something?
It'd be great.
I mean, it'd be absolutely fantastic. Great. Now, I've neglected to tell the audience, we've only been on here a few minutes, but we do have a special guest today.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. This is a guest we have not had on in quite some time. He's probably the most well-known person in the world right now, and we always welcome him to these microphones. He's had a very busy time lately, which is why he hasn't been on, but here he is, President of the United States, Donald Trump. President Trump, how are you?
Hello, Scott. How are you? Good morning or good afternoon.
Yes, it's so good to speak with you. You have been busy lately. My goodness, how do you deal with it?
Well, I have to tell you something. I'm not in a particularly good mood. These last few weeks have been terrible. Last week specifically with Comey, that, you know, grandstanding liar, terrible guy. Terrible guy. I can't believe the things he said. I've been so nice to him. You know the dinner that we had they keep mentioning in the news? Do you know this?
Yeah, I heard you had a dinner, yes.
Well, we had a dinner. Did you know that he didn't even pick up the check? He didn't pick up the check. He was a cheapskate. On top of everything else, he's a cheapskate.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, President Trump.
Oh, it's terrible, terrible. You know what? The people have it wrong. They keep saying it's Russia, the reason that I fired him. Not true. Not true. Do you know that he's 6'7"? The guy's 6'7". He's like a basketball player. I'm the president of the United States. I should not have to look up to him. I should not have to look up to him. He's too tall. I fired him because he's too tall.
Well, that is an interesting reason. And since you brought it up, President Trump, you have been battling Russia from your first day in office.
I'm not battling Russia. Putin and I get along very, very well. We've never met each other. We have a tremendous relationship. I don't know who he is. The next question.
Wait. You have a tremendous relationship, but you don't know who he is?
I've never met the man. We've been on the same show, and I think he's tremendous, fantastic leader. He kills all the journalists that he doesn't like. I have to, deal with the fake news. They make up things about me, Scott. This is the reason I come back on your show. You're not fake news. You're in the epicenter of real news. You're from Ohio. No one lies in Ohio, except John Kasich. You know.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that, President Trump, because our governor is out on the, I don't want to call it the campaign trail, but he's out.
Well, what else would you call it? I think he thinks he's going to be running against me in 3 years. Not going to happen. Not with that super cut haircut that he has. Not going to happen.
Well, what do you think of us who have kind of come down? Maybe an Al Franken who's in the entertainment industry.
Well, Al Franken, you know what? Years ago, when he was on Saturday Night Live, horrible show, by the way, horrible show. I have to tell you, terrible show. When he was on that show, he was terrible. He's a terrible comedian. He's not funny. He looks funny, but he's not funny. And now, as a senator, he's a terrible, terrible senator. And now he's writing a book. He's written a book now. He's not a good guy, I have to tell you.
President Trump, who you like Putin, but you don't like the former head of the FBI, Comey. Now,
no.
I understand. But to most Americans, that seems a little strange.
No, it's not. I'm doing tremendous. You see people defending me all the time. Watch CNN, Jeffrey Lord. He talks, he loves me. And all the people on Fox, all the wonderful people on Fox and Friends in the morning. And it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. They always stand up because they get me. They understand me. And it doesn't matter that I like Putin and I think Kim Jong-un's a great guy. It doesn't matter. They love me over this.
They love you nonetheless. You know,
they love me. What did I say over a year ago? And I said this. I could shoot one of my supporters in broad daylight on Fifth Avenue, and they'd rise up from the dead, and they'd still vote for me. That's tremendous. I have the best, the most loyal supporters. I have zombie supporters. That's what I call them, zombie supporters.
Well, but President Trump, one of the reasons the Comey testimony last week was important is we're trying to figure out if your campaign colluded with the Russians. What do you have to say to that claim?
Well, listen, Scott, you're a smart guy. You're a very, very smart guy. Is there any single shred of evidence that we colluded in any single way? Any at all?
Well, I don't know yet because I haven't seen
that? You don't know. You don't know. See, that's tremendous. You don't know. And please keep not knowing. And we can get through these next 8 years.
President Trump, you've kind of been hindered lately. You tried to get health care.
Hindered?
Hindered, yes.
Hindered. Okay. All right. Is that a new app? Is that a new app?
It's a new app coming out, yes. You've been a little hindered lately because people want you to stop tweeting. A matter of fact, it was said that your lawyer told you last week during the Comey testimony not to tweet. Now, did he tell you not to tweet?
Well, you know what? I don't remember. You know why? He's fired. I got rid of that guy. No one tells me what to do. All right. What's the point of being the president if some crappy attorney from Jacoby and Myers is going to tell you what to do? Seriously. That's not the reason I became president. I don't want lawyers telling me what to do. You know, I have over 300 lawyers at the Trump Organization. I don't know any of them. Yeah, I don't care. You know, lawyers are like missiles. You fire them when you need them. But I don't mean fire. I mean fire them at the opposition.
I under. Well, President Trump, I'm a little confused. Why have so many people like your attorney general, your son-in-law, met with Russian dignitaries?
Oh, hold on. I just have to back up about one very, very important thing, okay? There's been a lot of talk about Jared Kushner. All right. I don't know Jared Kushner. I never met the guy. He shows up at a lot of meetings. He's never said a single word.
He's your son.
So we met with the Russians. I can guarantee you he didn't say anything to them. The guy never talked. He never talked.
Well, he's your son-in-law. You've never met him?
Well, that's what I've heard. There's rumors. Many, many people have told me he's not my son-in-law. Who am I going to believe? Many, many people are you. I think it's many, many people.
Many, many people. Yeah, I under, one thing I've got to ask you. Your old nemesis, Hillary Clinton, is back out on the trail. And I understand you don't like it already.
Go ahead. What's the question? What could the question possibly be?
Well, she's criticizing you pretty harshly on all of your policies that you're putting through.
I have tremendous policies. Have you seen the stock market? Have you seen the economy? I mean, I have the lowest unemployment in the history of them keeping the unemployment records. No one. I've created over 50 million jobs in 3 months. Is this incredible? It's amazing. Most of it's for my family, but still, it's worse.
Well, what do you make of... Do you think Hillary might run again? She's writing a book.
I don't know. Listen, what did I say? She had no stamina last year. How's she going to have the stamina in 4 years? She's going to be 302 in 4 years. That's in Clinton years. They age much faster than normal people. Have you seen Bill? Oh, my! He looks like Skeletor. The guy does not look well. He's a vegan now. I don't know what he's eating. Tree bark? He looks terrible. Look at me. I look fantastic, and I eat meat. I eat steak and burgers and chicken. KFC is the best.
I hate to bring this up, President Trump, but there was a story last week that you're very stressed out, and you've started to gain some weight.
I haven't gained any weight.
You haven't gained any weight?
Have I bought new clothes? I haven't bought new clothes. When you gain weight, you have to buy new clothes. I haven't bought any clothes. I look tremendous. I look fantastic. Did you know, Scott, see that you're on radio. You're on radio, okay? I'm on television, and the camera adds 10 pounds. Did you ever hear this?
I've heard that.
Okay, well, I have about 100 cameras on me, so imagine how heavy I look.
Well, President Trump, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're very busy.
Well, I like talking to you. You're nice. I go to do these press conferences every Wednesday. Today. Russia, Russia, Russia. It's kind of like the old Brady Bunch. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Russia, Russia, Russia. No one cares. No one cares about Russia. There was no collusion. Nothing happened. Hillary would have lost anyway because you know why? Trump can. And I'm a winner. That's what I do. I win. I just want to put this behind us and do fantastic things for this country, like build the pipeline, get that done, make jobs, have a great summer. You know what I mean? And great news, Melania has moved into the White House. Is that tremendous?
That's tremendous.
We're going to have an amazing summer, We're going to do so many things. We're going to sign executive orders. We're going to salute. We're going to tweet. Well, most of these I'm not going to do with her, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I want to part with one hard-hitting question here, or maybe just a philosophical question, President Trump. What's your biggest regret? What have you done wrong since becoming president?
I have been too nice to the Democrats. Too nice. And too nice to Jim Comey. And actually just too nice to everybody. I should have been meaner out of the gate. I should have fired Comey on day one. Other than that, I have no regret.
Because he's too tall.
He's too tall. Too tall Comey. That's what I call him. Too tall Comey. I got a name for everybody, as you know.
You do.
Crazy Bernie Sanders. Goofy Elizabeth Warren. Crooked Hillary Clinton. But Comey, too tall. And he acts so nice. He acts like a Boy Scout. He's not a Boy Scout. He's more like a Girl Scout. He's devious. Like with the cookies and the Girl Scouts, very devious.
You seem to have a real bone with former FBI Director Jim Comey. If he said all the things that were untrue, why do you have this bone with him to pick?
Well, because it's untrue. And he's saying, I'm a very nice person. Am I a nice person? We've had dinner together, Scott.
Yes,
very, very nice. And you picked up the check that night, which I thought was tremendous.
Well, I did because you left the table and never came back.
Well, I had to. I was very important, Scott. I can't stick around and, you know, small talk for 5 hours.
I know I said the last question was the last question, but this kind of begs a point.
Don't become fake news and make up more questions.
No, I'm not made up. I just a lot of people say some of the things you say are not true, that you make up things, that they're easily contradictable. What do you say to those people?
Well, to them, I say that's not true, and I say it's true. That's the beauty of me. You can take me any way you like. It's like with the Muslim band. It's not a band, but it's a band. You see what I'm saying?
It's not a band, but it's a band.
Exactly. Consistency is so important in these things, and this is definitely 100% not a band, but it is, if you know what I'm saying.
President Trump, it's always interesting. I don't know beyond that what it is, but it's always interesting to have you on the show, and we wish you the best of luck in your position as President of the United States.
Tremendous, Scott, and once again, your ratings are going to go through the roof. It's going to be incredible for you. You're probably going to have your own show on any network that you choose because of just this interview.
Oh, President.
Or you're going to get fired. One of the two.
One of the two. Your buddy Bill O'Reilly went by the wayside. That's the way it goes, I guess.
Yes, these things happen. But he was a jerk, so no worries then.
President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Thank you, President Trump.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure to be on your tremendous show, I have to tell you.
And we should always make mention that the man behind the voice here, John D. Domenico. John, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. What's new in your life?
Oh, just performing all over the country. Just shot a movie over in England, which will be out in a couple of months on Netflix. So lots of fun stuff.
Perfect. Well, keep us updated, and thank you so much for always calling in and having some fun with us.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you. Bye bye. John D. Domenico, our president, Donald J. Trump. Whichever way you want
always
to put
good,
it.
Always good.
What do you think,
Gary? He's always good.
He's always a lot of fun.
He is.
Peps up a slow day and we can have some fun.
Yeah, a little slow Monday, and you know, it's always good to have the President of the United States call in and
start it. He has President Trump's cadence well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've never known anybody who had him down quite that well.
Fired Comey because he was too tall.
Too tall Comey. Well, phone lines are open if you have anything to say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, that's all done in jest. That's just a fun little comedy segment that we try from time to time. Hopefully made you laugh.
Yeah.
If you were in your car or at home and are enjoying yourself. So let's go on to the first story today. Here's an interesting story. I about yanked my headphones off my head. pulled my ears right off my head. Okay. Obscene memes posted on a private Facebook page have cost 10 students their place at Harvard, reports the college newspaper. The students posted messages joking about child abuse, sexual assault, pedophilia, and the Holocaust. Members of the group also directed several racial slurs at minorities, said the report. Free speech advocates, though, have criticized Harvard's action, saying their punishment was draconian. Okay, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, once again, in the society that we live in today, it's, you know, you really got to watch what you say and do anywhere. And especially if you're trying to get into Harvard, that's probably not the...
Well, it's my understanding they were already accepted.
Oh, it's probably not the wisest move, though. I mean...
But should Harvard have said, you know, big deal, get over it? Are there things you cannot joke about?
Right. I think we touched on them a little bit maybe the last time I was here, you know, as far as, if not, you can't talk race, gender. I mean, there's just some things that are off limits.
Well, I think you're right, but I think if you're doing memes on the internet, should that cost you your college career? One mistake. Again, are we a forgiving society?
Well, I mean, for the most part, we are forgiving, but I think they touched on the memes touched on those kind of those categories.
Do you think if they could go do it again, they would do it the same way?
I don't think so. I mean, I would hope not.
Well, I don't know. It's a funny thing because we talked about the celebrities last week. We talked about Bill Maher. We talked about Kathy Griffin. Now, we say the reason they were attacked was because they were in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
The Harvard students were not in the public eye.
Right.
So, does that matter?
Well, it doesn't, but if you treat them differently, then, you know, you're going to have people screaming, well, you know, the celebrities didn't get as harsh a treatment as or vice versa, you know, and so either way you're going to have...
But are the memes a big deal?
I don't think so, but I mean, it's, I'm sure they're, like I say, they're offensive, I'm sure, too.
Well, the subjects they touched on were horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
You should not touch on those subjects.
Right.
But the question is, and maybe the question running through the last 2 weeks of this program is, do we ever forgive?
Well, if
you make a mistake, are you just down for the count?
Yeah, I mean, we're a pretty forgiving society. I mean, you know, we forgive a lot of things, but it just seems like here recently anymore, it's harder for us to forgive, you know, for...
Well, I don't know if you were here last week, but we were wrapping up the Kathy Griffin story, and Jerry Seinfeld came out in defense of her, and he said he didn't understand why it was such a big deal, because it was just a bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he said comedians tell bad jokes all the time.
Right.
Do you ascribe to what Jerry Seinfeld is saying?
Well, I mean, that's good that Jerry Seinfeld came out to her defense, but like I say, it's a lot of it is your perception, I think. You know, I mean, it was perceived by some people as a bad joke, but maybe there was that other group of people that perceived it
as
a threat, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I want to take the Kathy Griffin thing, because we're still running. What exactly was she saying? Because if you ask her, she says she's doing that bloody head because of
the Megyn Kelly. Yeah.
So if you say it's not about Megyn Kelly, what was she trying to do in a photo shoot?
Well, I mean, I would think the thing with, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is maybe the thing with ISIS, you know, how they behead everybody, and she's saying that basically he should be beheaded, you know, or something.
Is that what you took away from it?
That's, I mean, in a kind of in a roundabout way, I mean, you know, and we're having such trouble with ISIS right now that...
You know, I couldn't get it. I really don't understand what she was trying to say. I think it was wrong. I think seeing the president's head with ketchup all over it is not the thing to do. I've said that time and time again.
Right. It was a terrible, poor choice of...
But I don't know if the Harvard kid should lose their college career. I don't know if Kathy Griffin should be zoned off the face of the earth. I don't... And it's interesting, Bill Maher's show went on Friday without a hitch. He was not suspended. He was not anything. But a lot of people on his show Friday, Al Franken canceled. And his guests really kind of read him the riot act that you don't understand why you can't joke about that word, the N-word.
Yeah. Well, like I say, there's just certain things that are just not, you know, I don't know if the word's, you just can't joke about it. And that's definitely, I mean, that's part of people's heritage, you know, I mean...
A bad part.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like the Holocaust with the Jewish faith, I mean, it's the same...
Again, telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We haven't talked since the big Comey testimony, where he basically said that he had leaked information out because he thought President Trump would not be honest about his firing. He said he never promised him anything, and that President Trump did ask General Flynn, or asked Comey to lay off of General Flynn. What do you make of Comey's testimony? Did he go too far? Did he go too little? Does it mean anything?
Well,
is it another piece?
My opinion is kind of weird on Comey, because it almost seems like he was directed, like he couldn't wait to get this information out about Hillary Clinton, you know, close to the election. But now, you know, he's coming clean on Trump, and it's like, it's almost like, I still don't know if he's telling us the truth, you know, or...
Well,
I don't know what to make of the guy, man. I mean...
What have you thought about him since day one? I mean, when we first heard about him, first time I heard about him,
yeah,
was last summer.
Right. I thought then he seemed a little shaky, you know, and...
Do you think it's good that he's gone?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think you've heard really anything out of the, you know, since he's been gone. No, I can't talk. No real major incidents or anything like that.
Well, where does he go from here? He's done his testimony now. Where does he go?
Oh, I'm sure there's probably a book deal in there for him somewhere. And I don't know that he'll be prosecuted at all. Probably not. But
well, what do you make about the idea that he says Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and I hope I get this right because I don't have the story in front of me, said to refer to Hillary Clinton's investigation not as an investigation, but I think it was a matter. I don't have the word, but it was Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, said, don't refer to it as an investigation. Refer to it as a matter or something like that. There was a word.
Mm-hmm. So basically wanted them to downplay the investigation of...
Is that what you think happened?
Of the emails. I mean...
Right, it was the email thing.
Well, I mean, if Loretta Lynch told him that, then that was a terrible advice from her.
Well, he said he wasn't all comfortable doing it.
Right. So is that why he came out, you know, days before the election and kind of said that it was going to be...
Well, no, I think that's why he did the speech in July where he said she was extremely careless.
Okay. Oh, that was under the... Okay.
Yeah, he did that because he said he was queasy when Loretta Lynch told him to refer to the investigation as something else.
As something other than an investigation. Okay.
Now, does it matter that they didn't find anything?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he didn't find anything in the matter or the investigation, whatever he treated it as. He still didn't find anything. So therefore, if he knew ahead of time that there was going to be nothing, why would he still come out and, you know, why would he come out and say that, what, days before the election or whatever, that...
Well, that was all Anthony Weiner. That was all Anthony Weiner's laptop showing up, and then he had to look through the emails. I don't know why he did that.
You know. I mean, that's still the part that's kind of strange with me, is it?
But you have to decide, though, did that change the results of the election?
Right.
Did it?
I don't. I mean, it's hard to tell because, from a popularity standpoint, I mean, she wasn't a popular. But I think maybe it might have swayed some of the electoral college's votes.
So, did FBI Director Comey just handle everything wrong? Did he handle Hillary wrong? Did he handle Trump wrong? Did he just handle everything?
Yeah,
wrong?
I don't. I mean, I don't think he's really. I don't think he's really done anything up to this point, actually, like, you know, right, I don't know, up to par, I guess, is the word, you know.
Is asking him to lay off Flynn obstruction of justice?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you didn't ever...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, because the guy, I mean, the guy is in a position, a crucial position, and... You know, and he was fired from that position for having communication with, you know, basically with the enemy. And then, you know, the President of the United States is telling him to lay off from him and not...
Why do you think Trump wanted him to lay off?
Because I think that if he didn't lay off from him, he's afraid Flynn was going to say something that could indict him.
Well, Flynn is still, as far as I know, under investigation.
Right, that's what I'm, you know...
I don't think anybody has stopped the investigation into General Flynn.
I don't know. Then that's what I thought, is that maybe he's afraid that he might have said, you know, maybe there was a conversation out there that we were unaware of or something like that. And
again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It was interesting because Bill Maher, I did watch a little bit of the show Friday night to see what the fallout would be from using the N-word. And a lot of the people got on there. I think one was the rapper Ice Cube, who said, well, you know, it's not okay that you use that word. And it's strange that in 2017, we still have to argue to get people taken... to have people's statues taken down from the Confederate Army, the Confederacy, that, you know, you still have to do that. Is there something to that?
I mean, he's right about that. I mean, there's, you know, we should have known up to this point what's offensive and what's not offensive, you know, to people, to minorities and things like that.
But do we have to walk around on eggshells all the time? Because we're saying that you cannot be forgiven if you cross the line. But where's the line?
Well, but the thing is, you should know, and you should know, you should have that line in your head. You know, I can't say this. I can say this. I mean, you should already know that.
Right, but where is the line? Because obviously, I think if you would go, like I keep saying, if you would go back to Kathy Griffin, if you would go back to Bill Maher, if you would go back to these kids at Harvard, well, and you would say, would you do this again if you knew what it was going to cost you? I think they all would say no.
Right.
So they obviously didn't know where the line was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I just have a hard time, you know, with the advent of social media and thing. I mean, there's just you and then also too, your comments. You know what's? I mean, you should know what that line is and what it isn't. Now, of course, they're going to say they didn't know, but in this society, I mean, we're coming off an election where the tension was already kind of high, and anything related like that is going to be, you know, taken seriously. You know, using that type of language to refer to people is probably not going to be the greatest choice in the world. You know, you just have to be smart. I don't know. You just have to be smart about it.
Do you think these people just had temporary lapses in judgment?
Well, I just think that, like I keep referring to, with the last presidential election, with the debates and stuff, we have a guy here that basically says anything he wants about people. So I think now that people have that mindset that, well, if he said it, it must be okay for me to say it.
But people were getting in trouble before the last election for saying things that they probably should not have said.
But it just seems to me like it wasn't quite as bad as it is right now. I don't know if that makes sense or whatever. But
well, if you can be censored, do you have freedom of speech?
Yeah, I still think you do, but I mean, you have to know what, you know, what is your freedom, you know, you have to know what to say.
Well, why don't you explain freedom of speech to in the United States of America in 2017?
Well, so 2017, to me, freedom of speech is, you know, if you're unhappy about something, you know, voice your opinion, but do it without crossing the line of, you know, that you're, you know, without crossing the line of a race or gender or something like that, you know, but voice your opinion. I mean, we want to hear your opinion, but just not the extracurricular.
Well, here's something interesting. We all remember the Tea Party. Former South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint, ousted last month as head of the Heritage Foundation think tank, is joining a fast-growing conservative movement that is pushing states to seek a constitutional convention to rein in federal spending and power. DeMint, a prominent figure among the Tea Party activists who helped Republicans seize control of the U.S. House of Representatives in 2010, will serve as a senior advisor to the Convention of the States Project, providing a jolt to its efforts to marshal grassroots support for a state-led movement to amend the U.S. Constitution. News of DeMint's role was provided to USA Today first, and a formal announcement is expected later today. Under Article 5 of the Constitution, there are two avenues to propose amendments. Two-thirds of each House of Congress can vote to do so, or two-thirds of the states, 34 in total, can request the convention. In either case, three-fourths of the state of 38 states must ratify any amendment proposed by convention delegates. The USA has not held a constitutional convention since the first one in 1787, but proponents of the state-led coactive see growing momentum in their case. 12 states have already adopted the group's call, and leaders hope to add 10 to 15 next year. A separate effort demanding a convention to consider a balanced budget amendment already has the support of 27 states. What do you think about a constitutional convention?
Well, I mean, it sounds like to me that they're really pushing to maybe try to have one. They really feel that we need one. I don't know. I'm not sure. We've only had one ever. They said, 1789 or something? So I don't know what it would benefit, you know, but it may help them get their point across that they're...
It feels like they feel the federal government is spending too much money, and 27 states seem to be behind them,
yeah. Oh, I can see easily. I can see that, you know. That's a big concern today for a lot of people that... Well, and it has been for a long time.
Well, where do you make the cuts?
Boy, that's tough because no matter what you're gonna do, no matter where you cut, you're gonna offend people. But I think we definitely have to focus on, you know, you should never cut like Medicare, Medicaid. You should never, you know, education should never be cut. Defense, I don't know, maybe not.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Healthcare seems to be a topic again.
Yeah.
They are, if this new healthcare law goes into effect and Medicaid gets cut, what happens to the people who are on Medicaid right now?
Well, the way I don't know about this, maybe someone could correct me about it. Does that mean maybe their bills don't get paid then?
Yeah, but what do they do as far as treatments, surgery, so right, on that's, and so that, forth?
I mean, I think it definitely puts, you know, are they responsible now for their own...
I don't know.
For their own treatments, you know.
Right, I think they would be.
Yeah.
So is that...
Well, I mean, if you're already poor anyway, and that's your only source of you know, of health care, I mean...
Well, what percentages of job employers do you think provide insurance?
I'd say probably 75 or 80%.
And for the 20% who are full-time working people who can't... Their employer doesn't even offer insurance, what do they do?
Yeah, oh boy, then that's, yeah, because they're kind of between a rock, you know, they can't afford to go out and buy insurance from this, from the exchange or whatever it's called, or they, you know, boy, I don't know. That's going to be tough.
Why is healthcare unfixable? I mean, Hillary Clinton tried to work on it, Barack Obama tried to work on it, the Republicans are trying to work on it. Why is it such a tough issue?
To me, it seems like a cooperation thing like this. This group doesn't want to cooperate. Like, for example, the doctors don't want to give up certain things, and Congress don't want to, you know. There's, like give and take, you know, you got lobbyists that kind of throw in there.
Well, but how could you, if you were going to fix insurance, what would be the way you'd do it?
Well, it's tough. Maybe make a proposal of across the board, let people know what stuff's going to cost, you know, and just negotiate deals with insurance, you know, to make sure it's covered. I don't, you know.
Why do you think there's such an issue with insurance companies?
Well, they want to make as much money as they can, so I think they're worried about... They're maybe their bottom line, you know.
Well, we're talking about celebrities. Well, last night apparently was the Tony Awards, and Bette Midler, a Broadway legend, took home the Best Actress in a Musical prize of the Tony Awards Sunday night, and she did so with an interesting speech, I guess, accepting the Best Actress in a Musical trophy for Hello, Dolly. Midler rattled off an impressive list of thank yous before the orchestra started playing, urging her to wrap up. "Shut that expletive off," she said, silencing the music and continuing her speech as the audience cheered, the whole thing clocking in at over 4 minutes. So why do they do that? Why, when a woman, a Broadway legend in her 70s, is getting her big Tony Award, why do they start to play the music before they're done?
Well, it's obvious that they didn't, you know, they want to wrap her up. They didn't want to really hear what she, you know, they want to get back to the show and, you know.
Well, they made a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, why they did it is, you know, like you said, the lady's a legend. They should have let her speak, but.
But they always do that. Why do they do? I understand they've got TV time. I understand they have to go to the local news at a certain point.
Right.
But why can't they cut somewhere else? Aren't they quick enough to say, okay, well, Bette Midler went on long. Now we're just going to have to shorten something up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think they have obligations with different, you know, that they know, you know, they only get 2 minutes here and four minutes here. So I think that they're afraid that this sponsor may get.
Is there any, should Bette Midler have handled it differently? I mean, she knew what the time was.
Right.
If she hadn't won, would she have done that?
Well, I don't think so. Yeah, she would have never cared about it, but she wanted her quote-unquote time in the limelight, you know. And
so should she have prepared a 4-minute speech?
No, well, no, knowing in the past what what the time has been. That was probably not the, you know, because what did their speech even pertain to winning? I mean,
I don't know. I know that
was it a political? Was, I mean,
I don't think it was political. Okay. I don't know. I didn't see
right. It. I'm saying, you know, was because if it was political, I could see why they could, you know, kind of stick to the script. You know what I mean? And
now, do you like it when celebrities give their political opinions at award shows? A lot of people did that. Some people did it at the Oscars, Emmys.
Well, it's not really the most appropriate platform for it. You know, for their opinions. I mean, if they're doing just a sit down one on one interview with someone, I don't have a problem. You know, but maybe that's if I tune in to watch that award show, maybe it's not the greatest time to.
Now, can't you change the channel though?
Oh, absolutely, and I normally do.
So you, what if it's an opinion you like?
Same.
You still turn it?
Yeah.
Because.
Just because, like I say, I just feel like everybody else maybe don't want to, you know, they've tuned in to hear the, you know, they want to see the red carpet and the outfits and things like that, and it's just not the.
Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Should celebrities be giving political speeches at award shows? Because it does happen a lot. But doesn't the celebrity go for it because they have a big audience?
Yeah, and they know, you know, they know there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on them and stuff. And yeah, sure.
Why has politics become the new Hollywood?
Well, I think because I have to keep referring back, is I think because who we have as our president, you know, he was kind of a.
But I think that was long before. I mean, I when was the last time Hollywood was Hollywood? I mean, I think we're talking probably in the 2000s. When's the last time the major Hollywood stars were the focus? I mean, 24-hour news channels, we have 3 or 4 or 5 of them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it seems to me like long before President Obama.
Well, it seems like now that any Hollywood news is always political based because there's a line there. I don't know.
Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I think we pay a lot more attention to these so-called celebrities than we should, you know? Most of them, I mean, it's not a new thing. You know, they've constantly done that. I remember Streisand when Clinton was elected. Oh, we've got our country back. Well, it's always been there.
Right.
And, but they've always been very political on that stuff.
Well, yeah.
And frankly, I wish they'd just shut up, you know?
Well,
and these are people that are paid to read somebody else's words with somebody else directing them, and they aren't necessarily all that bright.
Now, I think that's a blanket statement. Now, all celebrities are not bright?
I did not say
well,
all.
Who are you referring to, I guess?
Misleading there, aren't you?
Well, I guess when you say they're not all that bright, who are you referring to?
Many of them aren't educated.
Okay, well, I guess the problem is when you say that, I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Well, let's take Meryl Streep, for instance. You know, comes up and gives her a little speech. I even forget what it was. It was probably the Oscars. And that's no place for politics.
But does that make her stupid? Or dumb.
I didn't say that she was particularly stupid, but she's an example of someone that they just have to get their words in there. And the thing that irritates me is that people will pay attention to them. I mean, they'll pay attention to rappers who don't have a brain in the world sometime because they're a celebrity. You mentioned Jerry Seinfeld had some sort of a thing. Who cares?
Well, wouldn't you, Terry, here's the thing about the Jerry Seinfeld thing. If you're Jerry Seinfeld, he's in that field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in that field.
He probably thought it was attacking his profession, maybe.
Well, I mean, I would think if you're going to get a second opinion from a doctor or a lawyer, you go to another doctor or another lawyer.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, was this in poor taste?
It was a political thing that he was discussing, right? It had to do with...
But see, was it...
From his perception, though, because he perceived it as just a bad joke. Is that right?
Yeah, he said, how do you know what the good jokes are if you don't have bad jokes?
So he's justifying bad jokes. Okay. That makes sense, huh?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a comedian, right. So I've never had to face that firing squad.
But I guess if you're going to have someone back you up, you would want another comedian if you're in that field. I mean, I guess that would make...
I mean, I assume Jerry Seinfeld has went through the process of trying to create jokes. And he probably has said some... Comedians live on the line. I mean, it is true. They make fun of things that are taboo. Most mm-hmm. of them do. Do I think what Kathy Griffin did was funny? No. Do I think that it was appropriate? No. But I don't know. The question is, should she have to pay with her career for the rest of her life? Because if the doctor goes in and makes a mistake, he might have a malpractice lawsuit filed against him. But it usually doesn't end his career because it's not in the public eye.
We don't owe her any career.
Do what?
We don't owe Kathy Griffith any career.
No, we don't owe her a career. But the problem is because of the backlash, the theaters pulled out. Now, had they...
The reason the theaters pulled out, they undoubtedly got a lot of comments from people calling
in. Right, but here's the thing. If you have those shows and she can't sell them out anymore, okay, I'll take that. Because of her political statement, she can't sell the seats anymore, then that's financial. Then you have a right to cancel her. But if you're canceling her because a group of people are protesting before
those
the show...
people are the ones that are paying for the tickets.
I don't think they always are. I don't think that's right. Because, you know, what I found interesting was the people who were complaining about Bill Maher's statement were not the people watching Bill Maher's show. They were the people who saw the clip.
The ones who what now? I didn't hear you.
Let me put it this way. Kathy Griffin, if you liked Kathy Griffin before this, you probably agreed with her political sense of humor. And you would probably still go see her aside from what she did. I think everybody in the world said it was wrong, but I don't think everybody in the world wanted to block her off the face of the earth, Jerry Seinfeld being a person who didn't.
It's the people that are selling the tickets that make a decision whether they're going to have her on there or not.
I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this into the next hour because we're coming up on the break, so stay tuned, and I hope you call back in. And we will be back right after this break. In this thing for years that people thought you were dead, do you think that has worked against you in your career?
Well, I wasn't that crazy about it. I accepted it.